peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The sermon for today, the commemoration of St. Patrick, missionary to Ireland, is primarily topical, but will draw on the lessons, including the Gospel from St. Luke chapter 5. The title of the sermon is The Eyes of St. Patrick. You may be seated. Well, top of the morning. Good Irish greeting here for you this morning. And I think we did pretty well on the hymn. That's not the easiest hymn in there, but I think we did it justice. But you know, on St. Patrick's Day, you got to sing that. It's the only one in the hymnal written by St. Patrick. So what great, great hymn proclaiming the doctrine of the Trinity as he did to the people of Ireland so many centuries ago. Now, I planned to do this for one of the pre-service musical selections, but for some reason I couldn't get the technology to work with it. But there's a very famous song associated with Irish folks, and probably many of you are familiar with it. And it's called When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. And that song has actually been recorded by over 200 musical artists. It's really kind of an Irish anthem. You could say. You find some Irish people today, they'll probably be singing this or listening to this. And the chorus of that song goes, when Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morn in spring. And the look of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away. So many of you may heard that before. It's been sung by so many famous people. So yes, the Irish. The Irish, well, they're known for many things. They're known for their tempers and their love of strong drink. As one of my friends who wasn't really from Ireland once asked me, he said, did you know why God created whiskey? And I said, no. And he said, because if it weren't for whiskey, the Irish would rule the world. But the Irish are also known for their love of family and their sense of strong community. They're also known for their love of celebrating, and it often includes music and song. And many Irish are people of strong Christian faith as well. Some are Catholic, some are Protestant, they haven't always got along, but they're known for their strong Christian faith. Now, the reason for that, of course, is the Holy Spirit brought them that faith. But the person God used to do that was none other than the saint whose name rings out today, St. Patrick. So today in this sermon, I'm going to present some about the life of St. Patrick and how God used him in a powerful way. And I use that Irish Eyes Are Smiling song because that's the running theme you'll see through this sermon. We're going to look at the impact of St. Patrick through the eyes of St. Patrick. So we have to go back to the late 4th century Britain. And it was in that time period that the eyes of a newborn opened to the outside world for the very first time. He was born into a Roman British family, wasn't even originally from Ireland, into a family of Roman British Christians. And the parents of this newborn decided to name him Patrick. No doubt his parents had joy as he grew, but these were very dangerous times if you lived in Britain, because the neighboring island of Ireland was home to a people called the Celts. And the Celts were fierce. They were very successful in warfare, but they were brutal in their warfare. They were also steeped in paganism, Druid paganism. So as we heard in our Psalm in our Old Testament today, both spoke about idols and false gods. And that, of course, was written centuries earlier to the people of Israel. But the people of Ireland, during this time, had that great sin as well. They were known for their idolatry and false gods. Now, in all of this context, the Celts had a nasty habit. They would come over to Britain on ships, and they would raid Britain. rape, pillage, cause destruction. And one of the things that they would do is they would kidnap people. And they would kidnap people and they would take them back to Ireland and make them slaves. And at about age 16, Patrick was one of these people captured in one of the raids. He was taken back to Ireland and he was made into a slave. And as you might imagine, his time as a slave was not very pleasant. He writes about it in his autobiography, his confessions, about all of the mistreatment and abuse that he took as a slave. But here we see again the eyes of St. Patrick. And this time, as a slave, they look to the heavens in prayer. So when he was made a slave, he wrote that he didn't even consider himself very religious. Yes, he was a Christian, his family were Christians, was Christian, but he didn't really consider himself very religious. But it was as a slave, as people often do in hard times, he began to turn more and more to God. He began to speak to God regularly. It is said that he began to pray 100 times every day. And the Lord God, as he promises to do, heard those prayers. Patrick was assigned to care for his master's sheep, and that often involved bringing the sheep into a cave in the cold weather. And it was in that cave that in his mind's eye, he saw a vision. God gave him a dream. And in this dream, he told Patrick to escape, to make the long trek of several days to the seashore, and in this vision, he was told, when you get there, there will be a ship waiting for you that you can get on. Well, Patrick followed this vision, and he went, just as God had showed him. When he got there, there was a ship, and Patrick was able to escape slavery in Ireland, and he returned home to his native Britain. But God was not finished with him yet. In Patrick's mind's eye, he saw yet another vision. And this vision was telling him to actually return to Ireland, this time as a missionary, to preach the gospel to that pagan land. But it didn't happen right away. As all things do, they happen in God's timing. So Patrick's eyes remained focused. They remained focused with determination on the mission that God had given him. And it would actually be many years later before he returned to Ireland. He studied for 15 years. He would become a priest. He was able to rise in the ranks of the church to the level of bishop. But still they would not send him to Ireland. Finally, the church agreed to send him as a missionary to Ireland in the year 432 AD. Now this would be a very dangerous mission. It would be a very difficult mission. However, God had used his time as a slave to prepare him because he had learned the language of the Irish people. He understood their culture. So just as we read about in our gospel lesson, God calls disciples to be fishers of men. He called them to go out into the deep waters, away from the comforts of the shore, and to put down their net. And when they listened to Jesus, there was an amazing catch. Simon Peter had caught nothing through the night. Yet this astounding catch of fish, it was so big, the Bible says they brought the other boat over there, and the boats were still taking on water because the catch was so great. So when Jesus spoke, the disciples obeyed, and a huge catch of fish was attained. Jesus had provided the fish. Well, Jesus would provide everything that St. Patrick needed to work mightily for God in Ireland. And as I said a moment ago, this was a dangerous mission. Very dangerous place to be a missionary. I mean, Patrick could have easily ended up dead at the hands of these Celtic warlords. But again, the eyes of St. Patrick, they were looking straight ahead. They were looking to his mission without fear. He had eyes of faith rather than fear. And Patrick indeed would be miraculously preserved from death on many occasions. God would use him to show his power over the false druid gods. There are many stories of St. Patrick, but one striking story is St. Patrick was in the court of King Leo at Tara. And the story is that the druid priests there, they were able to plunge the whole royal hall into darkness. But Patrick was not afraid. Instead, what he used this as an opportunity to do was to preach about Christ being the light. He said to pagan druids, well, maybe you could bring darkness, but you cannot create light. Because light always overcomes darkness. Many of the assembled nobles that very day converted to Christianity. And Patrick gained the king's respect and protection. And there are many, many stories of this you can read of. But that's just one example of how God protected Patrick and used his preaching to convert many of the people of Ireland. So the eyes of St. Patrick, were filled with love as he preached the gospel to Ireland. Now, some people are kind of hard to love, aren't they? Well, think of the Irish people. St. Patrick is going back there to these people that had made him a slave. They had kidnapped him from his parents, from his homeland. They had taken him there and mistreated him and made him a slave. But he's going back to preach the gospel to them. The Celtic people were hard to love. They were fierce. They were brutal warriors. An untold number of atrocities had been committed by them. They had even been known to make jewelry and tableware out of the bones of their victims. These are tough folks. These are folks that are kind of scary. Yet Patrick loved them. Because God loved them too. He wanted them to repent, to convert to Christianity. What did 1 Peter 4:8 say? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So thus, all over the Emerald Isle, all throughout Ireland, Patrick preached the gospel. Idols were torn down, both literally and figuratively. Now many of you may know the story of Patrick driving all the snakes out of Ireland. Well, that is a myth. It's not true. But where did that story arise from? It's a metaphor. Because Patrick, by the power of God, he drove the evils of paganism from Ireland, which is represented by the snake, like going back to the Garden of Eden. That's where that myth comes from. So he was driving out evil, paganism, wickedness from Ireland by the power of God. It's very incredible what happened. Within 200 years of St. Patrick's mission to Ireland, almost every single person, every man, woman, and child in Ireland had become a Christian. Like 100%. What a transformation. And Ireland would remain one of the most Christian societies in the world for centuries. And in fact, Ireland itself became a missionary sending country that played a key role in the role and preservation of the faith. In fact, they sent many missionaries to what would become Germany. So, you know, even us German folks who aren't Irish, you know, God used the Irish to send missionaries to the German lands. The eyes of St. Patrick were filled with love for Ireland because they were filled love for the gospel. And so after a life full of adventures, challenges, twists and turns, and incredible missionary efforts, the eyes of St. Patrick would close in death. The eyes of St. Patrick would close his earthly life as faithful. A faithful servant of Jesus Christ who had done what God had called him to do. Now, the exact year that St. Patrick died is debated. There's a few different sources on that. But we do know a couple things, that he lived to be pretty old. By some of the dates, over 100 years old. And we also know the date of his death, even though the year is debated, and that is, of course, March 17th, which is why the day to honor St. Patrick is today, the timing of the holiday. Now, there's a whole lot more to the story of St. Patrick. I mean, we can talk for hours, and other years I've given you other details about the life of St. Patrick. But I think just in this brief overview this morning, you can hopefully see and appreciate just how faithful St. Patrick was. How faithful he was to the one true religion, the one true faith of Christianity. So finally, as we move closer to the conclusion here of the sermon, I want us to look at one more aspect of the eyes of St. Patrick. Now, some people believe that those Christians who have passed on to heaven, they can look down on us and see what we are doing. Some people believe that. Well, there's really not a whole lot of biblical support for that idea, so, you know, it's maybe they can't do that. You can't really point to a Bible verse and say they're watching what we're doing down here all the time. Maybe someone don't want them watching what we're doing all the time, right? But let's just imagine for a moment, that St. Patrick's eyes today could see his legacy, could see how the world is today. Well, what would he see? What would St. Patrick see? Well, he maybe would be surprised that people are still remembering him, that even in a Lutheran church, people are wearing green and things like that. But I think what he would see is that a holiday honoring them is not particularly celebrated, at least in America, as focusing on the religious contributions of St. Patrick. In fact, I would venture to say that many people celebrating St. Patrick's Day on this very day, this very weekend, they couldn't tell you anything about St. Patrick. Maybe they could get at least, well, he probably was Irish, but that's about it. Years ago, we went down to Savannah for the St. Patrick's Day, and I think it was on a Saturday, so there were like 500,000 people there. Maybe if I ever went back, it's like I could go around and ask people, who was St. Patrick? I wonder what the percentage would be that could tell you anything about him. Now, I like to say that the celebration of St. Patrick's Day today, it revolves around what I call the three L's. The three L's. And that's luck, leprechauns, and libations. Now, all of those things have nothing to do with Christianity being brought to Ireland, do they? Now, perhaps if you have Irish heritage, today is a day where you show your Irish pride. You celebrate all things that are Irish, and those of us who are not Irish, we can get to be Irish for a day. Now, I don't believe St. Patrick was against celebrating. I don't believe he was against having fun. But on the other hand, I do think it was sad in him that the day that bears his name, that honors him, the focus is not on how God used him to spread the gospel. Even in his native Ireland, which was a bastion of Christianity for centuries, in the past couple decades, it's become very secularized in Ireland. I believe these things would cause the eyes of St. Patrick to drop in sadness. But at the same time, I believe his eyes would not be completely filled with sadness, but there would also be hope and joy. Because the work that he did, it still does live on. Many do continue to hold the faith that he brought to the Emerald Isle 16 centuries ago. And that faith spread around the world, even to the United States. And what would St. Patrick's message be to us today? Well, I think it would be the same thing. It would change. He would want us to tear down idols. And I'm not just talking about statues of false gods. I'm talking about those idols in our hearts. Anything that we place above God, Patrick would want us to tear those down and turn to Christ. I believe he would preach the message of the triune God, just as we hear reflected in his hymns and his prayers. I believe he would preach a message, the same message of repentance and faith, law and gospel. He would want us to continue to preach the gospel with missionary zeal. He would want us to be fishers of men, just as Jesus spoke about in St. Luke chapter 5. In short, He would want us to be Christians and really follow Jesus, not just with our words, but with our deeds as well. He would want the non-Christians and those who have wandered from the faith to hear the gospel and to believe it. He would want a calling out for repentance of sin and a receiving of the gift of the gospel in faith. So as you go forth from this sanctuary today, however you're going to celebrate the rest of your St. Patrick's Day, or if you're going to do any other celebrating after you leave here or not, I want you to remember what we learned from the gospel that St. Patrick preached. And really, the mission of St. Patrick, it is still going on today. The mission of spreading the glorious and saving gospel of Jesus Christ is ongoing. God used St. Patrick as a big part of it. And He wants to use each of us as part of bringing His soul-saving mission to the world. Through the eyes of St. Patrick, we can see all of that. And the best way that Irish eyes, and the eyes of all nationalities for that matter, will be smiling is as redeemed sinners, serving the real and living God. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.